Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. That number's big, the debt. It's growing. Yeah. I don't know where it's going to be.
I think it's a low ball.
Yeah.
I think it's a low. I don't think we're done yet.
Well, I was reading this morning before the show the Parliamentary Budget Office's forecast.
Yes.
And Michelle referred to that $250 billion. But it's weeks old. A lot happens in weeks these days.
And there's still more to come.
That's my point.
That's what we're not talking about that yet. Like, right. Yes, we're trying to just prevent a depression.
Yeah. And those are the fiscal policies, never mind monetary.
Yeah. So there's more to come. So this, I would not be surprised if we see the $1 trillion mark in Canada.
Are you talking combined or are you talking
combined
fiscal?
Yeah, combined.
Well, I think we'd be getting close to that now, my friend. With the liquidity the Bank of Canada's provided, it's probably $500 billion right there.
Yeah,
right. So they've committed to that. I don't know if they've deployed it all.
Correct.
Right? Fair
enough. So I can see $1 trillion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think your number is unfortunately achievable.
So how do you pay for all that?
Right.
Especially when we're not the reserve currency of the world.
Right.
You know. The demand for Canadian dollars is not globally accepted as the currency to go after.
Right. Now, Canada has approached it a little bit differently than the U.S. as an example, in the sense that the U.S. has given a lot of money away. It's forgivable, done. Canada's a lot of deferral stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we'll see if that works, right? So if you had deferral on paying taxes or interest rate deferrals and so on and so forth, and you get to that point where you can't pay it 6 months from now,
yeah.
Right? To your point, there might have to be more done here or forgiven or whatever the case may be.
Which turns into a debt payment.
That's correct. It turns into a debt payment. So, yes, it's academically very interesting, scary for lots of people, right? And uncertainty will create volatility. Okay.
I would love for our governments just to tell us this is what we expect to happen and really gross it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like really overestimate that this could be the worst case scenario. And here's the three things we're going to do to help pay this thing down. Right. Just do that to keep me quiet so I know what I'm dealing with versus I have no idea. Or I'm not going to answer the question of how much debt that we have or anything like that. That was just
you can't avoid, yeah. Avoiding the questions, bad form in all cases, right?
Correct.
You just want some level of transparency. You can say, I think it's acceptable to say, listen, this is an evolving situation,
yeah.
Right? This is what we anticipate. And they have said, you know, if we have to, we'll continue to do more. But avoiding the question altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad form.
They talk more about wearing masks than they do about how they're going to handle the financial situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Right? So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
During the week,
mm-hmm.
You've been talking to clients of ours. You've been having that dialogue. Last week when we talked about this, there was a whole bunch of questions. What kind of questions are they asking you this week?
It's a big fat void of questions right now. That's what's interesting to me because we often think about what was the commonality or the common theme amongst the conversations we had through the course of the week, and there wasn't anything new. There weren't even a lot of questions, right? We're at that weird inflection point, I think, Faisal, where we're, you know, people have the shock is gone.
Yep.
Most people I think accept this can be with us for a while.
Yep.
Right? They understand we're slowly opening,
but
we're marching forward, not backwards.
Yeah, and right? I think our growth bucket and the performance being in positive territory year to date has a lot to do with that too.
Oh, for sure.
And I think when individuals see that their portfolio is not down, but the markets are down year to date, that gives them a sense of comfort in mm-hmm. the growth side.
Mm-hmm.
Income has no problem whatsoever. I think that's been part of the big benefit for this because if it was down, you know, double digits like the markets are, it'd be a different conversation, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Because fear would still be there. It's, like right now, they're wondering where we headed to.
Right.
And if your portfolio is down and where we're headed to, that's even more concern.
Right.
When your portfolio is positive and you don't know where you're headed to, you kind of have a bit more comfort.
Yeah, it does take some of the uncertainty that away. That's a fair comment. But it was the absence of really, and now I'm fine. You know, things are good, right? I'm just doing, the conversation was more around what they were doing personally.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's good, probably, you know, for many of the reasons you just talked about.
Yeah.
Some of it is we've adapted, right, to the new normal that we're at, right? But that was the takeaway for me for the week, right?
So I was on a webinar that I was a guest speaker on.
Yeah.
Let's call it 1,000 to 1,500 people across the country attended this webinar, and the moderator had multiple questions sent to her saying, how do I structure myself going forward? So these are not our clients.
Right.
These are just the general public. And it's always nice to get a gauge of what the general public concerns are. And so in there was, how do I structure and get ready for retirement? These are 45 to 55 year olds, 60 year olds saying, you know, I'm getting close.
Right.
It's coming. So how do I structure it? And so it's amazing to me how many people who feel that they can do everything on their own. And so when I went through, and that was one
Were there a bunch of do-it-yourself investors?
And I don't know the makeup of the audience. I was just speaking.
From the questions?
From the questions, you can kind of get the gauge of that there are people that are trying to do everything themselves.
Okay.
And so when the question was posed to me of how do you structure it, the question was really talking about the investment portfolio.
Right.
But they were saying, how do I structure myself for retirement? And they were referring to the portfolio.
Okay.
And I kind of went a bit more broader first and then narrowed it down to the portfolio.
Right.
And I said, when you choose to be your own chief financial officer of your family, you first have to do the retirement plan.
Right.
The financial calculation to determine where you are today, where you want to be when you retire, how much cash flow you need, and what is it going to look like using a conservative rate of return in your analysis.
Right.
So that's number one. So you have to do that if you're going to be your own chief financial officer of your family.
Yep.
Then you have to understand the tax rules. Because as you withdraw through retirement, each pool of money, registered money, tax-free, non-registered, corporate money, all have different tax treatments.
Okay, so now you've got to be a tax accountant too.
You got to pay somebody to do that.
Right.
Or you got to know
the
process.
Yep.
Okay, so that's number two.
Yep.
Number three is you need to be an economist as well and forecast the future of the economy and give your probabilities to everything. And I kept on focusing on best case scenarios, worst case scenarios, and what's your base case given the data that you have.
Yep.
And then it went down to how are you going to manage the portfolio to reach those goals?
So now you're a chief investment officer.
You're also being in charge of your investments.
Yep.
Now, I can tell you that there are Canadians who will, you know, do their own investment portfolio, but then go to an accountant to get their taxes done, but not have a conversation about tax planning and withdrawal strategy.
Right.
Or they will get their legal work done with a lawyer, but not have a collaborative approach with how does it work with tax? How does it work with my portfolio?
Right. Meaning if there's a transition of assets.
Correct.
How is that going to be done most effectively, right?
Correct.
Right.
And so when you take on that responsibility of doing all of that, the moderator came back to me and said, wow, I never knew it was so much to do to take care of your retirement. And I said, well, what will be the alternative? Just take care of your investments, cross your fingers, and hope everything works out?
Right.
Do you want to put your retirement at the viewpoint of hope?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why not put high probabilities on your side?
So I think you did that group of people a tremendous service. If you walked through it like that, you know, here are the different expertises. That's a word.
It is now. Okay.
Required.
Yeah.
In order to get a full retirement plan done, right? It's not just a financial plan. It's not just an investment portfolio. It's not just preparing and filing your tax returns. It's not just having a will written up. It's the interconnection between all of those things and that overriding strategy.
And we didn't even talk about health.
Yeah.
Like the health issue. And anybody in Calgary knows that you're now going to be more picky of what kind of long-term care facility you want.
Yep.
Everybody in Calgary will now know that maybe you want some kind of different quality of care. And so how are you going to pay for that?
Yeah. Well, everybody across Canada, not just Calgary.
Right.
Everybody across Canada is clear on this point. Right?
For sure.
Yep.
For sure. So these are the things that, you know, it's a bigger picture. You can do it all if you have the skill and the will to do it.
Yep.
And so it's possible. I just think there's not too many Canadians who either have the skill and the will to do it.
Well, yeah, just do an assessment, right? I mean, think critically through that.
Yeah.
And the fear, right? The fear of retirement comes from the uncertainty.
Correct.
Right? And so if you do that and you don't have the skills to do the job, then hire somebody.
Yeah.
Right? That's why people had jobs because they had an expertise, right? To provide a
service.
A service. Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
What about the seminar?
Yeah, we're going to be doing the same thing, talk about the entire process on Tuesday, June 16th, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, thanks for tuning into another edition. That was a great show this week. We look forward to speaking with you next week here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.